Today I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like, what did you get yourself into? You didn't have the right experience or the right skill set? Well, I know I have, and you probably have too. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Okay, today we're going to continue with the series, The Manifestation of Your Life Mission. Rick is showing us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to do, we don't have to run away from it. We can actually run toward it. This is such a good message, and I hope you'll invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how we can live according to the purpose and plan that He has for us. Now let's join Rick as he shares the final part of a message called, What to Do When You Cause a Storm.
Jonah chapter 1 verse 12, Jonah says, here's what you guys do. Okay, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard down in the sea. In other words, cast me upon the grace of God, okay? Jonah said, and everything will calm down. I know that it's my fault that you guys are having to fight this terrible storm. Now, this is the first unselfish thing that Jonah's done. He goes, look, I'm the cause of the storm. And you guys are all dying and the ship's cracking up. And just toss me overboard. Toss me into the hands of God, into the grace of God, and everything will calm down. Do the sailors take his advice? Nah, no. Sailors try to solve the problem themselves. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Instead, the sailors tried harder to row the ship back to land and safety, but they could not turn it around for the raging storm was out of control. Now, I want you to circle three things in this verse, okay? First, circle out of control. Out of control. The situation was out of control, okay? Second, circle, they could not turn it around. It was out of control, they could not turn it around. Okay, then circle the third thing, they tried harder. Does that sound like your life? Does that sound like your life? You know it. It's out of control. You've tried to turn it around and it hadn't worked, and you're just trying harder. It's out of control. You can't turn it around, and you're just trying harder. Here's the seventh lesson. Write this down. If I'm fighting God's plan, trying harder doesn't work. If I'm fighting God's plan, if I'm running from God, trying harder doesn't work. Because your arms are too short to box with God. God is God, and you're not. The only way you're going to be saved is to just surrender to the grace and goodness and mercy and love of God and throw yourself in His arms. You can't save yourself. I'm not just talking about saving yourself to heaven. I'm talking about the situation you're in right now. You can't do it on your own. Look at this verse. You know this verse, Ephesians chapter 2 in the Bible, verse 8 and 9. You will be saved, not just in heaven, but from the problem you're in right now. You will be saved by trusting in God's grace. You can't save yourself. It's a gift from God. Salvation is never the result of your own effort. So you can't brag about it. If you could work your way to heaven, do you realize what an ego trip heaven would be? Everybody'd be there bragging, well, I got here because I did this. Well, I got here because I did that. And it would be miserable. That would be hell. Now, you can't save yourself. Now, the last three lessons are really good news. Because when I actually throw myself onto God's grace, throw me overboard, put me in the hands of God, I'm just going to trust God with my future. I've been running from him too long. Three miracles happened in Jonah's life. And these same three miracles will happen in your life when you accept your mission and you stop running from God. When you start fulfilling the purpose you were made for instead of fulfilling the purpose that you're making up for your life. Three miracles will happen. Okay, here they are. Number one, miracle number one. When I do what God wants, things will calm down. When I finally do what God wants, things will calm down. And all of a sudden there's peace where there was a storm. All of a sudden there's rest where there was panic. I want you to look at what happens. Jonah chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Finally, I mean, it's like last resort. Finally, the sailors cried out to Jonah's God. We've tried our gods. That didn't work. They cried out to Jonah's God. Oh, Lord, don't let us die because of this man's life. And please don't hold us responsible for his death, because you, Lord, sent this storm for your purpose. You know that storm you're going through right now? It's because God has a purpose for it. God's purpose for your life is greater than the problems you're going through. The purpose is always greater than the problem. You, Lord, sent this storm for your purpose. God has a good purpose for the storm in your life. You sent this storm for your purpose. Then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard, and immediately, not like a minute later, immediately the raging sea calmed down. That's a miracle. Storms don't just stop immediately. They went from crashing waves to immediately. It's calm. That's miracle number one. And when I do this, when I say, God, I'm gonna stop running from you. I've been running from you a long time. The things will calm down. Immediately, the raging storm calms down, okay? Here's miracle number two. When I do what God wants, unbelievers believe. People get saved. Unbelievers around me believe when I finally do what God wants me to do. Now remember, this is a ship full of guys who are, they're just pagan sailors. They're probably polytheistic. They're all, you know, believing different images and gods and idols and different things like that. But now they've seen this storm immediately stop. And in Jonah 1:16, when the sailors saw this happen, what? Immediately the raging sea calmed down. When the sailors saw this happen, they were awestruck by God's greatness. And they worshiped God. And they offered a sacrifice to God. And they made vows. They made promises to God. God, we're going your way from now on. The whole ship is converted. Why? Because one guy who was doing the wrong thing, the believer who was doing the wrong thing, gets his life right. And all of a sudden, the non-believers believe. Every one of you probably have a friend or a relative who doesn't know the Lord. You got somebody in your family, maybe your parents, maybe a brother or sister, maybe a spouse. Your husband doesn't know the Lord. Your wife doesn't know the Lord. Or children. You got family members, relatives. You got friends who don't know the Lord. Have you ever thought that maybe you might be the barrier, that the way you have been living has actually kept them from coming to Christ? Because you haven't been all out. You've had the foundation of Jesus Christ, but you've been building with wood, hay, and straw. And they haven't really seen that big a difference in your own life. And when you finally say, God, I surrender to you 100%. I'm going with your mission. I'm giving you everything I've got. And all of a sudden, the storm calms down. And all of a sudden, that loved one goes, whoa, there is a God. And the storm is gone in the relationship. And things calm down. And they come to Christ. When you start fulfilling your mission, people around you that you never thought would be believers in God or Christ are going to come to Christ. It just happens. Because all of a sudden, they see that you are walking in calmness, not in stress, not in a storm. And they go, whoa, I want that in my life. There's a third miracle. Third miracle. When I do what God wants, things are going to calm down. When I do what God wants, unbelievers around me are going to believe. Number three, this is a big one. When I accept my mission, God shows me mercy. He doesn't scold me. He doesn't spank me. He doesn't say, well, it took you long enough. He doesn't say, why didn't you come sooner? He doesn't remonstrate or, you know, castigate me. He doesn't give me a lecture when I finally say, okay, I want what you want, God. I'm not being a very good God. You be God in my life. God shows me mercy. The Bible says, verse 17, last verse of the chapter. Now, the Lord prepared, and we're going to come back to that word, prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was inside that great fish for 3 days and nights. Now, that's a whale of a story, friend. Okay. I've heard some long tail fish stories, but that's a story. Okay. Now, first place, how many of you heard growing up that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? Can I read your head? Read it? Okay. Wrong. It doesn't say whale. The word whale is in the Bible, but it's not in the book of Jonah. It doesn't say that a whale, it says God prepared a great fish. In the first place, a whale isn't a fish. A whale's a mammal. A whale's a mammal. It's not a fish. Now, God could have used a whale if he wanted to, but a whale's not a fish. A whale's a mammal. Now, they wouldn't have known that 2,700 years ago, but God knew it. And it said God prepared a fish. Now, the word prepared there is mana in Hebrew. It literally means custom made. Okay? Okay. It literally means assigned. It's translated assigned. It's a translated appointed. It's translated ordained. This is the word for ordained. It's used many times. And it says in chapter 1, God ordained a whale. In chapter 4, it says God ordained a worm. And in chapter, it says God ordained a wind. So evidently, ordination isn't that big a deal. God can ordain whales and worms, you know, or fish and worms. But it just means God uniquely customized. If God, now, if you really believe that God created the universe, then he created every fish in the ocean. He could create on one day a special fish with air conditioning for Jonah. You don't have a problem. If God created every fish in the sea already, and God created every living animal, you don't have a problem. If God created the universe, you don't have a problem with God preparing a fish for Jonah. So I'm just telling you, it doesn't say whale, all right? It just says God prepared a great fish. By the way, scientists say that one species this could have possibly been is the greatest fish, the largest fish in the ocean. Not a mammal, but a fish. The largest fish in the ocean is called a whale shark. It's not a whale, it's a shark, but it's about the size of a whale, so they call it whale shark. They're very, very common. They're all around the world. They're totally docile. They're gentle giants. They're totally harmless to human beings. Let me show you. This is a picture of a whale shark. Okay, that's a 40-footer right there. Now, notice that his mouth is open. They swim at about 3 miles per hour, very, very slowly. So divers often will grab onto the back of a whale shark and just go for a ride because they're that gentle. But they swim with their mouth open because they are filter feeders, which means they eat microorganisms. So they don't chew. They don't tear anything up with big teeth like other sharks do. They're filter feeders, so they don't really even need teeth because they're only taking micronutrients in. They're mouths are pretty big, as you can see. And they're gentle giants. They're totally harmless around humans, and they're all around the world. Let me give you a comparison between a typical whale shark and an 80-passenger school bus. Okay? Both of those are 40 feet long. So a school bus can hold 80 kids. So could a whale shark. Okay, they're literally that big. This last picture is actually Jonah about to be swallowed. I got that right from God, okay? He just sent it down yesterday by email. It's god.com. And no, that's actually a snorkeler off the coast of Mexico. They're in, you know, around. So anyway, that's, you know, scientists say it could have been that. But here's the problem. when people get the story of Jonah, they're more interested in what's inside the whale than what's inside Jonah. And I'm really more interested in what's inside you, in your mission, and the lessons that God wants us to have. Do you know your life mission? Are you completing it? One day it will be manifested. Everybody's going to see how well you did on your mission. And you will either be rewarded because you made your life count, or you will not be rewarded because you didn't. And you wasted the life that God gave you, that God put you on this planet for Earth. God is calling you to say yes to his mission today. So the question is, will you accept your life mission today? Say, I don't even know what it is. Well, it's like writing a blank check, signing a blank check. Say, God, anytime, anywhere, any way, anyhow, you made me, you put me on this planet, so I'm here to do whatever you want me to do. I'm all in. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Would you pray, God, I don't want to run from you anymore. With our heads bowed, let me ask you this question. What's your Nineveh? What's your Nineveh? What is it that God's told you to do you still haven't done? And you know he's told you to do it, but you're running from it. What's your Nineveh? If you will say, God, I want to fulfill your mission for my life, he's going to show you from his word. Say, help me to get into your word to know my mission. Lord, I know that it's going to take a step of faith. It may feel a little uncomfortable, may even feel a little scary at first. But I know you want to use me to help somebody else somehow. Lord, I don't want my life going downhill when I run from you. I don't want to pay the price of running from you. I don't want to have an opposing wind against me. And I certainly don't want other people getting hurt because of me. But Lord, I know it's true that the longer I run, the worse it gets. And I have to admit, Father, there have been times in my life where it felt out of control, and I couldn't turn it around, but I just tried harder. But trying harder doesn't work. Say, God, I want these three miracles in my life, that when I do what you want me to do, things will calm down. That when I do what you want me to do, unbelievers around me will believe. And that when I do what you want me to do, when I accept my mission, you're going to show me mercy. Thank you. Thank you for never stopping to love me. Thank you that you've been patient with me. And today I'm saying to you, I'm all in. I want to fulfill my mission, whether I've got 5 years or 50 years left. Jesus Christ, come into my life and fill my life with your love. I want to love you and trust you, and I want to know God's purpose for my life. I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
I don't know about you, but I am encouraged after that message. And let's keep the encouragement going with a letter from one of our listeners. Here's Rick.
You know, I really enjoy getting letters from you, and I'd like to thank each of you who've taken the time to write me. Your letters and your emails really do encourage me. In fact, let me just read one from a listener that I can share with you. It says this: Dear Pastor Rick, I'm a suburban public school teacher who works in a district with a great socioeconomic and ethnic divide. I love the diversity of my student population, but at the same time, these high school students arrive with all kinds of religious and moral values, which, of course, impacts their relationships with others. Daily Hope always gives me the compass I need to guide my day. I like how your messages encourage respecting cultural differences while maintaining the truth. I think it's important to foster relationships with others in the name of Jesus. Pastor Rick, I listen to Daily Hope on my 35-minute drive to work, and although I can't mention God or Jesus in school, students are allowed to initiate that discussion with me. So I'm refreshed and equipped daily because of your messages. Thanks for the broadcast. I look forward to it every day. Sincerely, Amy. Well, thanks for writing, Amy. Keep up the good work with your students, and I'm glad that Daily Hope is encouraging and equipping you in the calling that God has called you to do. And I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you because you wrote to me. To the rest of you, I just want to say Jesus is able to reach every person because he came to save all people. Jesus came for every tribe and every nation and every culture on earth. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation 7:9 that one day in heaven, that every tribe, every nation, every people, and every ethnic group will be clothed in robes, standing before the throne of God, praising God in that day. That's why it's so important to share this good news with not just our kind of people, but with every kind of people.
I tell people about Daily Hope all the time, whether it's somebody I know or even just a casual conversation, because I know when they listen, they're going to be filled with hope and it will bless their lives. It's really easy. Just go to PastorRick.com, click on the Listen tab. There you're going to find buttons where you can share the message by email, social media, or WhatsApp. You can share Jesus by sharing Daily Hope. That's PastorRick.com. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.